You guys know that this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Everybody likes Thanksgiving, right? Eat good food. I've shared before, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because it's the holiday where I get to eat a bunch of good food and then be lazy, right? Christmas, we're busy. We got all kinds of stuff going on, but Thanksgiving, besides the meals for the shut-ins, that's a little bit of work. But other than that, it's pretty much a lazy day. But I love Thanksgiving also because as I've come to know Christ and I've studied Thanksgiving, I preached this a few years back about the origin of Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is actually a day that was created by the government to set aside a day out of our busy lives to actually give thanks to God. If you guys didn't know that, that's actually the purpose of it. It's not just like a peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Indians. The government created this as a day to set aside to give thanks to God. If you haven't heard that before, you can go online and listen to the message, Give Thanks, on our website. But I love Thanksgiving, except that some people treat it kind of like they do communion. For us, where we take communion once per month in this church. And a lot of people, they think about Jesus dying for them, redeeming them once a month. When we do communion, they're like, oh yeah, okay, this is a time for me to remember that and reflect on it. And it is, but some people, that's the only time that they do it, when it's really something they ought to be remembering on a daily basis, right? We ought to be thankful every day that Jesus died on the cross for us. And unfortunately, a lot of people only do that with communion. Now, Thanksgiving is kind of the same way. If we give thanks at all, some people don't even do that, but it's a day like, okay, well, today I will be thankful. Today, it's Thanksgiving. I will remember the things I need to be thankful of. You know, the Word of God teaches us that we should continually, daily, have an attitude of thanksgiving. Not just on the third Thursday of November, or the fourth Thursday, whatever it is, every year. We should live a life of thanksgiving. It is what the Word teaches us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. I shared this a couple weeks ago and picked at a different part of it. But it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. To who? To the Lord. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that up there for just a second. Give thanks when? Always. Very good. Give thanks for what? Everything. We're to give thanks always for everything. That's pretty challenging, isn't it? Give thanks. There's a lot of things in my life I could think I should not really be thankful for that. Right? We all can if we look at it. We're instructed to give thanks always for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you, to give thanks in everything. Now, I left off a part there. It's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you come to know Jesus as Savior and you realize the magnitude of what he has done for you, it's then that you're expected to give thanks in everything. Because you understand the sacrifice that he made. You understand how big and how important, how great of a thing that he did for us. And then at that point, it becomes God's will for you. Now that you understand what Christ has done for you, I desire for you to live a life of thanksgiving. Amen? Paul's main subject here in these scriptures, praise, thanksgiving, always, for everything. He's talking about having a continuous attitude of thanksgiving, of walking this life in thanksgiving, having this attitude of the heart. How are we able to be thankful for all things? How are we able to be thankful for all things in all circumstances. That's, again, I find that challenging at times. How many of you have areas or aspects or even seasons of your life, maybe even one that you're going through right now, where you're like, I'm finding it very difficult to be thankful for all things. Right? I'm finding it difficult to be thankful, maybe even in the situation that I'm in right now. And I believe that the answer here lies in our perspective of thanksgiving. To be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective, first of all, of our circumstances in relation to God. And then we will be able to give thanks to the Lord always. See, thanksgiving, what's key about thanksgiving is, do you know it's something, it's more than just a feeling, right? It's more than just, I'm thankful for what I have. But there's an expression that takes place in thanksgiving. It means you have to actually do something. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. There's all kinds of actions there. You enter his gates. Okay, you got to do that. You got to enter. You do that with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. You give thanks to him. Give thanks to the Lord. There's an action that's required in thanksgiving. Psalm 107:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks. We have to express our thanks, especially to God, but then even to others in our lives. And I'll let you in on a thanksgiving revelation. This is another one of those revelations. You know, every once in a while, God gives me one of these, and it's going to blow your mind. Okay? Get ready for this. It's not thanksgiving if you are not giving thanks. It's not. You can't just call it thanksgiving just because I'm kind of thankful if things are going well for me today. I'm kind of thankful for what I have. That's not thanksgiving. Thanksgiving actually requires you to give thanks. The dictionary of definition of thanksgiving even spells it out. It says the act of giving thanks. Grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. This is the secular dictionary. This is what it says. An expression of thanks, especially to God. A public celebration in acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. And a day set apart for giving thanks to God. That's what the dictionary tells us about thanksgiving. When you look in the Bible, if you look and see where the word thanksgiving is used, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it is broke down to praise or to cast, confess, or to give thanks, right? There's still an action to it. And when you look at it in the Greek, it's to be grateful, to feel thankful, but also to give thanks. Again, it's about actually being thankful, but then there's a confession of thanksgiving where you give it over to the Lord. How many of you know the story in Luke chapter 17 with the lepers? Jesus heals the 10 lepers, and they go away, and how many comes back? One, just one. He heals them of leprosy, and we don't understand leprosy today. Like, that was a really big deal, right? If you had leprosy, like, you were not just outcast from society, but, like, you were better off dead, like, in society. They would have nothing to do with you. They could smell you coming. Like, the sores and stuff were that bad. It was like, a lot of times they made them live outside of the camp, live outside of the courts or whatever. And so if you had leprosy, it was a really big deal. Jesus heals these 10 guys, and one comes back to thank him. And Jesus says to them, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? See, this one guy was the one that was willing to come back and say, thank you. You changed my life. You changed my life. My life will never be the same. I've been made clean. I've been made whole. I can live I can function like a person. I'm not going to be, you know, outcast anymore. He was thankful because his life had been changed. He had an encounter with the true living God, and his life was changed forever. And because of that, Jesus says to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. See, something happens beyond just a physical healing here. He gets the physical healing, he leaves. But he comes back to give thanks, and Jesus tells him, now you got it. Now your faith has made you well. Have you ever wondered why he says that? Your faith has made you well. You know, the others, just like the others, he'd been healed from leprosy. He left, he comes back, and Jesus says, your faith has made you well, because he wasn't talking about the spiritual healing anymore. He transferred over to a different topic, and he's saying, now this is a spiritual healing that has taken place in your soul. You are made whole, because it's not just about the physical healing. So often in life, people are pursuing the physical healing, and that's a good thing. It's an okay thing, but if you don't have the spiritual healing that goes along with it, what good is the physical healing? What good is the physical healing if you can just live another year apart from God? If you can live another year having a rotten spirit or soul inside of you? And he says here, he's like, this guy now, he's got it. He understands the benefit of the Lord in his life. He understands what God has done. He understands the goodness of God. He understands the favor, the blessing, and he has real gratitude in his heart. It shows that his heart has been changed. So it may have started with a healing, but it started with a healing for 10 people, and only one of them actually got it. That Jesus didn't heal them so that they could just not be smelly and have sores. Jesus healed them because he desired for them to be made whole. And he was trying to show them through this healing that there is goodness in God and that he desires all, even the outcast, even those who society puts down, and they got it. This one guy, he got it. See, we too are made whole by thanksgiving when we understand gratitude, true gratitude toward God, toward what he has done for us. Even psychology, science, the stuff backs it up, okay? Psychologists today, they say that sincere gratitude or thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions. Sincere thanksgiving or gratitude. They say that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude that we have in life. Being thankful. That's a big deal, to be thankful. This is genuine thanksgiving, not just like somebody gets you something you don't want for your birthday and you tell them thanks. Now, this is genuine thanksgiving. I really am happy that I have this, that you've done this for me. See, science is a good thing. Science and Christianity are not enemies. Right? It's what's done with science sometimes creates the conflict. But science is a great thing. Science should prove Christianity. It does prove Christianity when we boil it right down to it. It confirms biblical truths. A thankful heart will attract us to others and attract others to us. How many of you like being around people that are thankful? Right? When people are thankful, they're genuinely pretty positive people, right? I mean, you don't really run into too many grouches that are really thankful for everything. Some of the more positive people I know, they're very thankful people. It's one of those things that it's not only good for the person that's giving, but it's good for the person that's receiving. And God appreciates our thanksgiving. When we thank God for things in our life, we lift him up, right? We exalt him. We say that it's to him. It's part of why we love testimony. Like, I wasn't really just giving Dave a hard time earlier when he said it was great. I was like, man, I hope he's got a testimony. I was serious, because if we can tell people, man, I'm thankful for what God's doing in my life, we give him glory, right? What we do is, I hope this is what we do. What we should do is, I'm taking the spotlight off of me and putting it on him. I'm not talking about me and look at me. What God has done. It's no, look at God. Look at what he has done in me. Because you guys know how rotten I was before. Or, you know, I was dealing with this, and it's only by the grace of God that I've been able to overcome it and to get through it. So we lift him up and glorify him with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving then draws God near to us. right? It draws us near to him, near to us. It draws us closer to him. So on the flip side, when we're not grateful, when we're just frustrated and angry about everything, and we can't find things to be thankful of, if we're not expressing our thanksgiving, it can have the opposite effect on our life. It can drive us farther and farther away from God. Romans 1:21 tells us about that. It says, "For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude." So they didn't show him gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense and their senseless minds were darkened. That's the opposite. That's what happens when we don't have a life of gratitude, is we begin to think nonsense and our senseless minds are darkened. It's pretty frightening scripture, right? Maybe you're thankful for some stuff now. I am. This passage shows us that ungrateful people, at some point, they begin to fall away. If they don't get that, like the leper, if they don't get it, what God has done for them, then they're not grateful, because now they have this expectancy, well, like, no, but I want God to do this. Like, if I'm going to be thankful for him, then he needs to answer this prayer. He needs to do what I need him to do in my life, and then I'll be thankful, right? That's when we start giving God ultimatums. If you don't do this, then I'm not going to do this. Or if you do this, then I will do this, right? That's not a thankful heart. That's manipulative, and we can't manipulate God. It doesn't work like that. But their hearts here, we see these people, their hearts will become hardened if they live a life lacking gratitude. Their pride may keep them from worshiping, from being thankful. And before we leave this point here, that thanksgiving should be expressed, I want to look at a few ways that we can just simply say thank you to God. Okay, just to list a few ways. You can say thank you to God by spending time with him. More than just this, more than just an hour and a half to 2 hours per week, but spending time with God. That is expressing our gratitude to him for what he has done for us, by valuing relationship with him, by valuing time in the word and in prayer. We can also thank God by forgiving others. Realize that? That's something that is showing gratitude toward God, because if I get what he has done for me, and I understand my condition when he did that for me, that I was a sinner, that I was spiritually against him, and yet he died for me, that makes it a whole lot easier for me to forgive other people. You're showing gratitude towards God because you're like, okay, now I get it. I get what you've done for me, and I can relay that to others. You're showing gratitude toward God when you serve in his church. Listen, the reason we desire for people to serve in this church is not to make me happy, right? The reason I am here today is to serve God, to show my gratitude toward him. And I want to do things for his church, because this is his church. This is not my church or the elders or the leadership. This is God's church. And so I show gratitude toward him by doing things for his church and for his body. We show gratitude by sharing the gospel with people. That's a big one. You know, that's something that Christians oftentimes are scared off by. It's like, what? I got to share the gospel? Like, I'm not qualified for that. Do you know what happened on the cross? Has that been applied to your life? If the answer is yes to both those questions, you are perfectly qualified to share the gospel. That's all that it takes. I know what Christ has done for me, and I know how that has affected my life. Here you go. That's it. And when you do that, you're showing gratitude toward God, because you're like, you know what? I understand and I realize that that wasn't just for me, but it's for you, and you can have it. It's free, and here's how you get it. We show gratitude toward God when we reach out to hurting people. That's his desire for us, is to reach out to hurting people. He desires for us to love him and to love people. We showed gratitude toward God when we give him the best of our time. I love what Cindy had shared earlier, you know, about basically making our schedule a little less and making him a little more. And she worded it much better than that, but it was great, because I had this in here and I'm like, we should be giving God the best of our time, the best of our day. but we often give them the leftovers, if we give them anything at all. Like, how would that be in your family? Like, husband works late or your wife works late, whichever. Like, they come home and sometimes they get the leftovers, but sometimes they get nothing at all. How would that go over? Not too well. Your kid's got some kind of practice. Marissa, next time you have cheerleading practice, like, there might be some leftovers. There might be nothing at all. Just have to see. Have to see how I feel that day. Not good, right? But we do that with God. Is sometimes, instead of giving him the best of our time, it's sometimes we give him the leftovers, like, I got 7 minutes before I go to bed while my wife's washing her makeup off or whatever, so, like, I can read a verse of the day. You know, sometimes that's all we give him. Sometimes it's nothing at all. Listen, we show gratitude toward God when we put him in his rightful position, which is number one, and we give him the best of our day. And we say, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice the things that I like to do because you are important to me. That's showing gratitude toward him. And last, we show gratitude towards God when we praise him from our heart. Just praising him from our heart. And this is just, again, it's really praise and thanksgiving really go together. It's about just being thankful for not just what he has done. And I share this often because it's something that I try to teach myself and I'm trying to grasp myself, is that we truly have to have an understanding that it's more important to thank God for who he is than for what he does. It's way more important for us to just be thankful that he is God. Just that he is. That's it. That he's there. If we can be thankful for that, the other stuff will come. But it doesn't do us any good to be thankful for the things that he does in our life if we're not actually thankful that he exists. That he just, that he simply is. So we can do those things to show our thanksgiving and our gratitude toward the Lord. But our thanksgiving should be expansive. Okay, expansive means it should include many things. And a few of those things are the blessings of life. Our thanksgiving should include the blessings of life. That's a great thing, and that's the one that sometimes is easy for us to get. It's sometimes easy for us to thank God for blessings if we recognize them. Unfortunately, I would propose to you that most of us do not recognize most of the blessings in our life. How many of you have looked at a sink full of dishes and been pretty thankful for that? Like, man, that's a great blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for the sink full of dishes. And maybe you've been thankful for a messy house. You're like, man, this is great. I can't, man, how blessed. Man, God loves me. I have a messy house. This is great. And maybe you've been thankful for your noisy children. I didn't hear any amens there. And maybe you've been thankful that, you know, maybe you have a dog to take outside and it's cold and it's rainy or snowy and you're like, I'll take this dog outside. It's inconvenient for me. How many of you are thankful when you have a spouse or maybe even just a close friend or a sibling that wants to share their terrible day and how terrible life is with you? When's the last time you were thankful for something like that? Like, oh man, thank you, Lord, for sending them my way. I would propose to you that probably most of us very rarely have been thankful for things like that, but we should be. See, these things are a result of blessings in our life. You have a sink full of dishes because you have food and water. You have things that you can eat to take care of you. You have a messy house and you have noisy kids because you have kids or nephews or nieces or grandparents or grandchildren that maybe your grandparents came over and messed it up too. I don't know, but certainly grandkids have come over and messed things up. You have to take that dog out because you have a pet to love. And, you know, man, if everybody could be like dogs, we'd be a lot better off, right? Dogs are faithful companions. You, like, spank them for doing something wrong, and they come right back and want to lick your face, right? We teach people to be more like dogs, we'd all be set. But And with a person who comes and they want to tell you their terrible day, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh, brother. Or like, you couldn't have called so-and-so? Like, you got to come and tell me? Man, be thankful. that you have a person to share life with? Think about that for just a moment. Be thankful that they think enough of you to come and tell you about what they're going through, because most often they're not just doing it to complain, but they're like, they want somebody to help them feel a little better. And if you're a Christian, you should be hoping that people come to your doorstep and want to tell you about their terrible life so that you can help them to make it better. Think about things. Those are blessings. All those things, blessings. Blessings in disguise, I'd say for most of us. You don't look at them and think that. But they're blessings. These are things that there's other people that may wish they had these issues, these problems in their life that are really truly blessings. Don't take them for granted. You know, a lot of times our prayers are very general. Like, Lord, thank you for the many blessings. I'm included in that. I'm not picking on you guys. Thank you for all the blessings. Well, that's good. It's great. But what blessings are you actually thankful for? There's the old song. Was it the old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings? You know that one, right? How's it go? Name them one by one. See what God has done. There you go. We should have gave you a microphone, bud. How do you do it? Yeah, but but hey, I think Bud has an awesome voice, especially for hymns. But how often do we actually count our blessings? Is it count or name? Which one was it? Both. Okay. Name them. Name them one by one. Okay, so you count them, 7, and then you name them, right? Like Jeff, Steve, no, like. But how often do we sit down and we do count our blessings? How often do we sit down and we name our blessings? I'm just joking. You don't have to give them unorthodox names. You just say what they are. I think that's what they mean. But how often do we sit down and do that and see what God has done? So often we can focus on what God has not done. How many of you are pretty good at that? I'm a master. Like, I have a doctorate in seeing what God has not done in my life. Man, we need to count our blessings and see this is what God has done. And I think you'd probably be surprised if we actually sat down and thought about that. So include the blessings of life in your Thanksgiving. But you know that you also can include the burdens of life in Thanksgiving. This is where it really gets hard, right? The blessings, if you can recognize them, isn't too hard. But we should also include the burdens of life. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes these statements here. And, you know, if you don't know much about Paul, you might think, well, Paul, it's easy for him to say, right? Like, he doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what's going on in my life. He can say, be thankful in all things, be thankful for everything. Like, sure, Paul must have had it made. I mean, he wrote all these books of the Bible, and he's well known. He's the Apostle Paul. He planted all these churches. He did great and mighty and wonderful things for God. He doesn't know what I'm going through. I'm going to tell you, Paul had a lot of issues. And one scripture, he tells us about this thorn in the flesh that he has. He doesn't name it, but if you got a problem that's so weighing on your life that you just name it the thorn in the flesh. How many of you ever been stuck by a thorn? Like, first thing you want to do is get that joker out of there. It's stuck in there. Like, it's just permanently in his side or whatever. This is a big problem that's going on in his life, and he says, give thanks always. Give thanks in everything. You know, Paul was also, he'd been run out of town. He'd been beaten. He'd been whipped. He'd been imprisoned. Betrayed by his friends. He'd been naked. He'd been cold, hungry, shipwrecked. Some of those things all at the same time. He'd been stoned for his faith. And yet Paul instructs us to give thanks always. In all circumstances, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul never stopped giving thanks. And that's his instruction to us. See, he said several things that really show the proper perspective of the burdens of life. In Romans 8:18, he said this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." He says the sufferings of this present time, what I'm going through, is not even worth comparing to what is to come in Christ. It doesn't mean that you're not going through problems. It doesn't mean you just dismiss them and ignore them like they're not happening. He's just saying we still have a reason to be thankful. What God has got coming is way greater. It's way better. 2 Corinthians 12:10. "So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, there's times that we go through things in our life that are hard. And there's times where we go through things that, man, they just make me feel weak and beat up and maybe even defeated and helpless. Man, but he tells us when he is weak, then he is strong. It's because then, now I have to rely on God. Right now, like, I don't know what to do. I have to rely on the Spirit of God to give me guidance and direction and comfort and get me out of this mess. Right? That's why even though you're weak, you are strong, because of your reliance on the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:12, he says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel." How much of a testimony is it whenever your life is perfect and you've never had to struggle or go through a single thing in your life? Not a lot. I mean, you can tell people the gospel, but as far as your testimony, they're kind of like, well, you clearly don't know what I'm going through. Like, you clearly can't relate to me. Now, there are some people that they grow up in the church and they don't necessarily get steeped in, you know, drugs or alcohol or, you know, some of the biggies that we talk about, okay? But they still have self-esteem issues. They still have, you know, confidence, and they still have, you know, their worth is in something that it shouldn't be. Everybody has their issues. What I'm saying is, if you were perfect, and it's like, I've been perfect my whole life, God made me this way, He's gotten me to where I'm at, and I've never had a struggle, man, it's really hard for your testimony to carry weight with people, because everybody's going through something. Everybody. And so Paul says what has happened to him has actually resulted in the advancing of the gospel. You imagine him telling people about the things that he's gone through. And then they're looking at him now, and he's like, he's preaching the word and he's sharing the goodness of God. And they're like, dude, you were like shipwrecked and naked and hungry, and you got beat up several times. And like, and you still are this joyful? You still are this in love with Jesus? You still have all this great stuff to share with us? Man, that brings the advancement of the gospel, because they look at it and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense that a man should go through all that and then be the way that you are. That brings the advancement of the gospel when we go through things. Correction, it doesn't bring the advancement of the gospel when we go through things. It brings the advancement of the gospel by how we act and how we handle the things that we're going through, and by the end result that is produced in our life. This is not an advancement of the gospel if you just tell everybody how terrible your life is. Right? Then they're like, so what's good about this God? Like, we're missing something here, because that's kind of how my life is, and I don't know him. Right? The goodness is whenever you show how God has worked. And you know, there's... I've heard different testimonies of people that have been go, and they've gotten sick or something where they've had to take time off of work, and, you know, it's slowed down their life, and, you know, and at first maybe they didn't understand it, and it was real confusing, and maybe even brought them to a darker or a, you know, a difficult place in their faith, but they continued to trust God, they continued to thank Him, and then at the end of it all, they're like, you know what, that was the time that I needed with God that I refused to take. And my life brought me to a point where I didn't have any other choice. And, you know, their body got physically healed, but their spirit also got healed and strengthened and renewed. You know, things are not always as they seem. That's where we got to remember that God is always at work. And we need to thank Him. In our weakness, He is strong. His spirit, if His spirit is in you, then His spirit can strengthen you. When we are struggling, God is still able to work. I'd say God is even more able to work, because again, we have more of a reliance upon Him, where He can help us through times that we could never face on our own. You know, I never thought that I would say this, but I've learned to be thankful for difficult circumstances, difficult situations in my life. Or I've learned not to be thankful for those circumstances and situations, but in them. Maybe for them after they're passed, but you're not usually thankful for them while they're happening. But you can be thankful for who God is in the midst of them. And I don't believe Paul was saying that here either, that we're to be thankful for the problems, but in them, giving thanks always in everything, in all situations, in all circumstances. And being thankful in them allows God to use you for His greater good. If you remember, there's a Philippian jailer. And he was ready to take his life because of this earthquake. It was freeing the prisoners. And he's like, this is on my watch. He's ready to take his life because the prisoners were going to be freed. And what saved him was the attitude of Peter and Silas, or Paul and Silas, during their difficult imprisonment. We see this story, we see they're singing and praising God while they're shackled in prison. How many of you think that you are in that kind of shape where you could do that? You're chained to the wall for who knows how long, and you're just singing praises to Jesus. I hope that we get there. I hope that you are there right now. But they knew who God was. They knew what He could do, and they were dependent on Him. And because of their joy, because of the way they handled themselves through that whole thing, this jailer and his entire household ended up being saved. It was because of them, because of what they did, how they carried themselves. And so we've got to understand that others come to Christ sometimes simply based on your example in the midst of a difficult time. That can bring someone to Christ, right? Because they see how you handle it and they're like, there's no way I would have handled that way. I don't know anybody else that would either. So there's got to be something different about this person. Like, how did you do that? How did you not flip out on that person? How did you not do this or do that? See, it should bring others to want to know Christ by the way we handle our situations, by the attitude that we have. We can make a difference in the world just by that. And our thanksgiving should also include the benefits of life. I want to say that the Israelites, you know, they were focused on what they didn't have multiple times, and they failed to see what they did have. Each and every day. They were like that with the manna again. It's like they're so focused on what they didn't have. Like, we don't have variation. We don't have, you know, meat. We'd like something different. They failed to realize the blessing and how awesome it was that God was still providing what they did need in their life. You know, we're constantly adding, and break out this prayer list here. We're constantly adding to this prayer list. All this is prayer. This one little entry right here is praises. We're constantly adding to that list over and over and over. Why aren't we adding to our praise list? Do we not have anything praiseworthy going on in our lives? You know, you don't have to just praise God when He heals this person, one person of cancer, and we move that to the top. You can let us know any kind of praises that are going on in your life, and we'll add them to this list. We need to praise as much as we pray. We all have difficult times in our lives, but if we really look at the benefits of life, I think we'll find that it's good to be alive. Amen? I mean, I'm happy to be alive. You know, there's things like, you know, we can walk outside, and out here especially, you can walk outside and feel the wind on your face. Today is probably not super pleasant, but it's good. We can feel the sunshine. We can see babies born for the first time, which this church is excellent at, is producing more children. Keep it up. It's great. We can even, you know, feel a child or a parent that or a friend that hug, and we know that we're loved. Like, these are great things that happen in our life that let us know that we are loved and that life is good. There's this experiment that was done, I read about, in New York Central Park. And this, so an advertising firm, they dressed up a man as a blind man. They gave him a cup to go out and collect money. And so he had the sign around his neck, and it just said, "I'm blind." And my first thought was, there's a blind man that had a sign that said, "I'm blind." Like, who wrote it? Like, was it written all nice and neat? Because I would think that a blind person can't write real great, but I think about things weird like that. But he has this sign that he's blind. And all day he was out there, and he got $4. Think about this. New York Central Park. Like, this is a busy place. He got $4. It says the next day they dressed him the same way, placed him in the same place, but they changed the sign to read, "It's spring and I'm blind." And that day he collected $40. Now, I read that and I think, okay, well, it's just different people come by. Well, they surveyed the people that gave. I don't know how they did that, if they saw somebody give and then they pulled them off to the side or whatever. They surveyed them, and the people that gave that day realized that they were blessed by the beautiful flowers, the birds, the sunrise and the sunset. So apparently he was out there all day long. They realized all these things because his sign now, instead of just saying, "I'm blind," it said, "It's spring and I'm blind." And they saw the benefits of life. They saw the good things in life that day, and they were more thankful. And so we can be sure that we are forgiven and free as Christians. Amen? Praise God. See, we can just look at the benefits of life with Christ, and it's enough of a reason to be thankful. We're forgiven and free. Thank you, Jesus. We can be sure that Jesus saves. We can be sure that the Holy Spirit comforts and brings peace and teaches us and leads us and guides us. We can be sure, as I preached last week, that the King is coming, that Jesus is going to return. Man, we have a reason to be thankful and have gratitude. Amen? And so not only should our thanksgiving be expressed and expanded, but the last section here, our thanksgiving is expected. We're to give thanks, again, in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us. He knows that if we do it, that our lives will be changed. You know, when we learn to be thankful, it shows that we're a growing Christian. You know, we have some babies. We have Donovan right here. You know, Donovan, for the most part, is ungrateful, right? He probably doesn't give you very many thank yous, does he, at this point, especially when he's very first born? But a little baby that is throwing a fit, or, you know, sometimes they have colic or something where it's like nothing you do can calm them down. You can walk for hours with them, and then you can lay them on the floor. They don't say thank you when you're done. Right? They're not like, "Thank you, Mom, for like walking me around for the last 2.5 hours. I really appreciate that." More than likely, they probably would just cry louder, right? You lay them down, and they're just like, "Well, you're not like, why aren't you still holding me? I'm going to cry louder and longer," right? A child has to be taught to be thankful. This is not something that comes natural. You know, there are times even still that I have to tell one of my kids to say thanks, remind them to say thanks. And it's a lot less frequent than it used to be, but every once in a while they don't. And I see that with younger kids. You know, I've seen James is an awesome father. I've seen him many times where he'll like instruct his kids, like, "This is what you should be doing. Like, you need to tell them thank you. You need to say I'm sorry. You need to say excuse me," whatever. Like, you realize we have to teach these kids these things. It's not just something that they just as they grow up, it just like seeds that start to sprout, right? You have to teach them to be thankful. It doesn't just come naturally. See, sometimes you have to almost force a kid to say thank you. They don't even want to do it. It's not, at that point, it's not about whether they have an actual grateful heart or not. It's just like, it's the right thing to do. And I'm trying to teach you to say thank you. We have to realize how blessed we are by God and then express that. And you know what? It starts even like it does with a child. Sometimes it just takes us, you know what? I don't even know what I'm thanking you for, but I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you just for this life. That's evidence of a growing Christian. And there's all, Thanksgiving is also evidence of a giving Christian. When we realize how much Jesus has done for us and how much he continues to do, we should be more than happy to give back to him. This comes through time, through financial giving. For Thanksgiving to be a real Thanksgiving, again, there has to be thanks and then there has to be giving. Amen? The church leaders said amen. There has to be thanks and there has to be giving. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every bit of goodness that we have in us comes from God. Every bit. Apart from him, we are not good. Just in the, if that might be a news flash to somebody. But apart from God, we are not good. It's not there. You know, when we go to a restaurant and we give the waitress a 15% tip or 20% tip or whatever it is, you know, sometimes we like to do one of these, like, man, I'm such a good guy. So, like, man, if we're doing that, we're not getting the goodness of God. That's just man doing something nice. We all have the capability to just do things that are nice, but to actually have the goodness of God, to be thankful for what they've done, and you know what? I want to bless this person because of what they've done for me. And there's a difference there. Now, on their end, they don't care. They just want the money. They just want whoever's given what. But you know, it's evidence of a growing Christian, of a giving Christian, when they just have a desire to bless people. And we have people like that in this church where it's like they just do things for other people, buy things for other people, just because they want to bless them, because they love them. And they may have more money than you do. It's not about who has money. It's just like, I want to do this to bless. I want to do this to give. We need to ask ourselves if we're truly thankful and if we are ones who like to bless, right? Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Thanksgiving is a mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and then this other one, couldn't think of a better word, so I used a glowing Christian. Be thankful. If you're thankful to God, then you are glowing. People will see this Thanksgiving mentality, this thankful heart in you, right? You'll be beaming or whatever. And people use those kinds of words. They'll say that about Christians, like, I could just see something on him, right? How many of you have said that before? Or somebody has said that about you before? Like, I can see something on this person. I can see something different. It's like they were beaming. They were glowing. Like, something's just different. That's the way that it ought to be. That's the way that it ought to be when you're a Christian. Like, they should be able to see you as a person, and you don't even have to actually do something great. They ought to just be able to recognize that you're different because of the power of Christ in you, because of the light of Christ shining out of you. It should change the way that we appear. So if this is us, if this changes the way we appear to people, I'll tell you what, it's not because you're pessimistic and critical about everything. If that's you, they're not going to be like, wow, that person's really beaming, you know, they're really glowing with the light of Christ in them. But it does when it's a person who's really eternally thankful. They're just grateful for God, for who he is, for what he's done for them. And you know what? They especially will see this through difficult times. They'll especially see it, how you handle yourself in difficult times. 2 Corinthians 4:8 tells us, we are crushed in every way, pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are in perplexed, but not in despair. See, these momentary struggles are achieving in us this eternal glory that outweighs them all, what Paul had shared previously. There's something that's coming that is far greater, And we need to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. There's a missionary named Henry Frost who served in China. He wrote this in his journal during a very difficult time. He wrote, "I have received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness would not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then, went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, 'Try Thanksgiving.' I did, and that very shadow was gone and not to return." It was that thankful heart. Now, he doesn't go on to tell exactly what he viewed by that Thanksgiving, but when I read that, I think, man, he turned his eyes off of his problem, off of what was going on, and he thanked God for who he is. He thanked God for what he's capable of doing. Maybe not for what he's doing right now, but for what his promises are, because he is true, because he is faithful, because he does not ever give up on us. The psalmist was right when he wrote, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." That's a good thing, to give thanks to the Lord. So whether you've been going through difficult times, whether you're going through difficult times right now, maybe you've prayed, maybe you've found that it's not getting better, why not try Thanksgiving? Why not try taking our view off of what the problems are? And again, I realize you can't ignore problems, but we have to get a proper perspective on these problems, and we need to just see that God is good, that God is what we need. He is the source. So whatever our circumstances are, listen, there is a reason to be thankful. Amen? I mean, does everybody here have a reason to be thankful in their life? I have many reasons to be thankful. I have a lot of reasons that sometimes I'm ungrateful. Again, I told you, I'm a master at looking at all the things that God is not doing. But man, what changes and transforms a person's heart is when he realizes what God has done and who he is. There's a reason to be thankful. Listen, it's more than a day of the year, Thanksgiving. It's more than a feeling that we get. It requires actions. So this morning, what I'm going to ask is if you would express thanksgiving to the Lord with me this morning. We've done this. We did this a few years ago. But today I'm going to ask that if you have something to be thankful for, that you'd come forward and share it, that we would let God know what we are thankful for. Now, this may just be, "I'm thankful for you, Lord. I'm thankful that you exist." This is a no pressure, come forward, share what's on your heart. You can, if someone else says, "I'm thankful for my wife," and you're thankful, you can still be thankful for your wife, right? This is not about, "Oh, he stole my thing." This is not about, it's not even really about us proclaiming these things to or in front of each other, but it's about, man, we have a loving, holy, wonderful God who is there for us, who exists and is waiting for us to come and dwell with him eternally. I can't wait for that day. But in the meantime, we have things that we're thankful for. So I want to be obedient to Scripture today, and we're going to just share what we are thankful for. So I would say everybody, but you don't have to do this, right? Because again, it's like you're thanking God or you're not. That's not up to me. But if you would like to come forward and share something, again, we're saying these things to the Lord, and I'll start off, but then you need to start making a line, because whoever's behind me, I'm handing the microphone to, and we're just going to thank the Lord this morning for the things that he has blessed us with. And if there's nobody here behind me, then I'll just drop the microphone and walk off. I'll do a mic drop, walk off. Do I have to say something good, though, like epic, to do a mic drop? If nobody's behind me, then I'll, like, hopefully I'll be inspired to say something epic. If not, so, all right, I'm by myself, I guess, so see how this goes. Father, we just thank you and praise you. I thank you today, Lord, for the work that you have done in my life, that you have called me out of a place of darkness where I did not know you and rejected you, and turned my back on you, that you drew me out of that place to a place of knowing your love and your mercy and grace and how deep it is. So I just thank you that you are good and that you love me.
Lord God, I'm thankful for friends that I'm able to be transparent with and that speak truth into me when I am not strong enough to see it myself.
Father God, I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for a healthy family, and I'm thankful for a job that I love.
Dear Lord, I'm thankful for your grace, your mercy, your love. I'm thankful for your deliverance. Thankful for my earthly family, and I'm thankful for this church family. Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful for a strong marriage and a strong family, and I'm thankful for a God who heals and has healed my father from cancer twice.
Lord, I'm thankful that you are a graceful and merciful God, and that you are the judge, the ultimate judge, and that here on earth when we are offended by others or when we want to take personal actions towards somebody, that it is in your hands and that you are the one that is in control, and that we are free of that burden, that we are here to love on one another, Lord. And I'm thankful that you have provided that way out for us, Lord, that we can take the high road and that you're the one who is true and just.
Lord, I give praise unto you, not just for providing of us and protecting us physically from that of the world, but also for the ways that you protect us, both mind and spirit, and provide for that mind and spirit also.
I'm thankful that you have not let what others said about me. And I'm thankful that I'm almost done with 2 years of college, and that I came from high school 2.7, and it looks like
Jesus, I'm thankful for my family and for this church, and that I live in a free country where I don't have to live in fear.